The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, email her, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path for this lovely, chilly October day.
That it is.
Election day here in Canada, so I'm hoping everyone's taking a break from looking at all the election coverage that's going to be starting up and spending an hour with us tonight. Every week, I really strive to provide down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And I always try to squeeze as much landscape design in as I can. And I know this time of year in October, everything is ramping down in our gardens for the most part. But one thing, it is the time of year to do, and I'm really excited to talk about it tonight, and that is planting garlic. It is, I know it kind of goes away from convention. Everybody thinks about planting vegetables and tomatoes and things in the spring, but the fall is the best time to plant garlic. And I'm really looking forward to our guest tonight. His name is Brian Maley, and he's a garlic grower and braider. Brian lives in Eudora, Ontario, and has been growing garlic for over 23 years. His journey with this amazing plant began by just wanting good garlic to cook with. It was not long before it became a competition amongst his friends to win the local fair ribbon, which eventually led to learning the art of braiding garlic. Brian now shares his passion of growing and braiding garlic with presentations and workshops for local garlic festivals and horticultural groups, which is where I met Brian just last week, which is great, and now on internet radio, Brian. He normally grows around 1,000 plants a year. I can't imagine how much garlic, how much that smells good. Enjoys giving braids as gifts, sharing his garlic with family, friends, and new growers. When not in the backyard, Brian is busy running his own predictive maintenance company, specializing in vibration analysis. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Brian today. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What a great connection in that we just met on Tuesday, had garlic and growing and baseball in common. So I'd say it's turned into a fast friendship.
Yes, it certainly has. And the timing is impeccable because tonight's game is not till 8 o'clock.
So that's right.
I won't be missing anything, and I get to talk about something that I really enjoy, garlic, for an hour with you.
Excellent. And although we had already had it planned, Gary, that Brian was going to have the show on mute, and he was going to give me any updates during the show of the game if the game was on during our chat. So
that's, you know what? Thank you for that.
Because yeah. I'm sure that would have been better than me getting it from Twitter. So yeah. So thanks. We had our plan B, Brian. And now we're managing. I'm hoping that everyone is joining us tonight. And if anyone has questions, I've got lots of questions for Brian, and I'm looking forward to everything he's going to talk about. But if you have questions out there, then please email them to us at realityradio101@yahoo.com. And we'll definitely get them answered while Brian is here. So Brian, I know this is the time to plant garlic, best time. But what is the actual window? Like, it can't just be like a weekend, right? In the fall.
Oh, no,
yeah.
No,
there must be a larger window.
Yeah. I mean, I've known some large garlic farmers actually start thinking about doing their planting towards the end of August to plan their beds and then do planting in September, actually.
Oh, okay.
But primarily in my experience growing, I've kind of targeted around the Thanksgiving weekend, so around, you know, second, third week of October.
Okay.
But depending on how your life is and how busy you are, you can actually plant it all the way up until November.
Really? Okay. So is it just before the ground freezes? You want to get a few weeks before?
Yeah. An ideal situation is to get about 6 to 8 weeks of root growth on your cloves before you actually get a solid freeze up.
Okay.
So the plants actually get established in the ground right now before we get a freeze up. The roots are set down. And then when the winter comes and we freeze over, everything just stays dormant. And then come springtime when we thaw up, that's when the garlic starts to come up out of the ground.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
And that's usually around April. And a lot depends on our spring.
Mm-hmm.
Like a few years back, we had that really warm March, and I don't know if you remember, but we had that spell in March where everything got really warm, and that, you know, everything thawed and the garlic popped up, and it was fine. I mean, it was a great growing season, and everything worked just fine.
So frost, because I know with the things above the ground, you know, the early bloomers, the fruit trees, that type of thing, if we get a warm up in the early spring and then we get another couple hard frosts again, that tends to, you know, forsythia doesn't bloom, that type of thing. Does that have any impact on the garlic?
No, it doesn't have any impact on
Excellent.
The garlic, because what's coming up is the leaves at that point of the game.
Okay.
And the plant will normally, during its growing cycle, throw up about maybe, you know, up to 9-10 big solid leaves. So even if the first one does get damaged, then there's more coming right behind it.
Okay. And you're not are you supposed to trim down those leaves or
no? There's no trimming of the leaves at all. The only time we get into any trimming of the plant is when we take the reproductive part of the plant off, which is called a scape.
Okay.
And a lot of some of the grocers now, especially grocers, are starting to put scapes in around June. And this is something that we cook with.
Okay. And they tend to be the curly ones, right? The little,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, because
okay.
what I primarily grow is hardneck garlic.
Okay.
And that produces the reproductive scape.
Excellent. Okay. Now, I don't know what I know I planted both soft and hard. I showed Brian earlier today a picture of my garlic that I was really proud of. Well, not really. I have to say I'm kind of like the plant and neglect person, hence my whole building my whole brand of down to earth, like really practical, really let's just do it and see what happens. So, Brian, that's what happened. And you expressed some concern over the state of my garlic.
Yes, I did mention to you, I'll be heading down probably down your neck of the woods a couple times this week. So please let me know. And I've got lots of garlic that I can bring down.
I'm definitely going to take you up on that.
So I can get you going this year because we've got lots of time for planting still.
Excellent. Excellent.
And it's actually, it's great timing because I just finished planting my garlic today.
Oh, okay.
So I started getting my beds ready over the past week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's adding sheet manure to my soil and retilling, taking out any excess weeds that were in there. And then over the past 2 days, I've gotten all my garlic in, which is, I know, somewhere around 700 or 800 plants this year.
Wow. Okay. So you must have a lot of space for it.
Surprisingly, you know, I mean, it doesn't take up a large amount of space. I grow my garlic in raised beds.
Okay.
And the reason, one of the main reasons I do this is because we want really good drainage for our soil. Garlic doesn't want to be in wet soil at all. Those cloves could actually rot right now if they were in a wet environment.
Right.
So I grow mine in beds that are 40 inches wide and they're 24 feet long. I use 2x8x12 feet long and I put a couple of them together.
Okay.
And so in that bed, I'm actually doing my garlic spacing right now at 10 inches apart per clove.
Part. Okay.
So in that space of of 40 inches by 25, I can grow 116 plants in there.
Okay. All right.
So when you think about that space-wise, 4 feet by 25 feet, it's not a huge amount of space.
Right.
So if you go on that and you break it down, so if you went 40 inches by 12 feet, then you could grow yourself, you know, up to 60 plants.
Right.
And I've done 8-inch spacing as well, too.
Okay. Keep it tight.
But I'm just right now, I'm trying to just get a handle on what's the best spacing for myself. And so last year I went to 10-inch spacing and I was pretty happy with the results.
Okay. Now, do you have it's all garlic in these beds? Like you don't have tomatoes or?
Absolutely not. This is just all my garlic beds.
Okay.
And the other thing, I have two beds dedicated to growing my garlic from the bulbules, or what I call growing from seed, but it's actually a living organism at the top of the plant. When the scapes actually, when you let them go and grow on the plant, they produce a small head at the top, and on that are what we call bulbules.
Okay.
These are very small, the reproduction for the garlic. So I plant those at the same time, and then they produce a small, what I call a roundel. And that roundel I will harvest next July, and I will replant that in October and produce from that a small bulb. I will then split off those cloves from that bulb and replant them again, harvest in July, plant in October, and get a bigger bulb. And then I do the same process again one more year. And so after 4 years, I've got really good-sized garlic. It's really good genetically sound garlic because it's come from the bulbules. It's only 4 years old.
Okay.
The plants are healthier. I feel that they're more disease-resistant. And it's something that I encourage all garlic growers to do, is to harvest some of these bulbules off the top of your plants and to start planting them. And I go with smaller spacing, of course.
Right.
You know, I start with the bulbules. I only put those about 3 or 4 inches apart, and then I go 4 or 5 inches for the roundels, and then up to 6 to 7 inches for the next stage, and then up to 10 inches for the last stage.
Okay. So let's, for our average gardener, you know, homeowner that wants to just plant, you know, go to the garden center and get a, you know, plant some garlic. So,
yeah.
You know, of course we need to make sure it's grown in Canada, not in China, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing that I talk about in my, you know, that I bring up in what I call Garlic 101 is we don't plant Mexican or Chinese garlic from the grocery store. We source out Canadian garlic that grows here in our climate, because garlic climatizes to your soil and to your growing conditions. So anything that's grown in China or in Mexico has been climatized to growing in those conditions, whereas in Canada we have winters. So our garlic is planted is in the fall now, and winter's over, and then we get big, beautiful plants that are harvested in July next year.
Right. Okay.
So I encourage the people who come to my presentations to source out a good source of garlic, local garlic. I usually get them to go to farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
Richter's sells garlic.
Okay.
Looking on the internet, you'll find of garlic that you can get.
Excellent.
And there's still time now, like I say, because you can plant all the way up into early November, you've still got time to do this.
Okay. So when we buy from the farmer's market, from the farmer, like it still looks like a clove of garlic, just like you would get at a grocery store, correct?
Well, what you're looking at is a bulb of garlic.
Bulb of garlic. Okay, so yeah, right. I'm going to get the terminology wrong. So why don't you walk us through, like, real low and easy, what you're buying and what you're planting, you know, what they're called, because I think I get them mixed up.
Yeah, because what we're buying is we're buying a bulb of garlic.
Okay.
And within that bulb of garlic are cloves of garlic.
Okay.
So when we get a bulb of garlic, and what we look for when we go to the farmers markets, we're looking for nice, white, clean looking garlic. Nothing that has damage on the bottom around the root zone.
Okay.
No yellowing of the garlic bulbs. We have a massive problem that's been in our province called bulb and stem nematode, and it's something that a lot of more gardeners and growers are aware of now because it's such a nasty problem. So when you're looking for your garlic, make sure everything looks nice and healthy and no damage, and usually nice white bulbs is what you're looking for.
All right.
Then you're going to take these bulbs and you're going to break them into individual cloves.
Okay.
And you're going to plant them the pointed end up. And we plant them, like I say, anywhere from 8 to 10 inches apart and 2 to 3 inches deep.
Okay.
And where we plant them is in a nice full sun location with a very well-drained, rich, organic, loose soil.
So not really planting them that deep.
No, we're not planting them that deep at all.
Okay, I think that's my first problem. I think mine were like, good 6 inches down.
Oh, gosh, no. These are just 2 or 3 inches. Usually what I do is I'll grab the clove in my hand, and I'll just create a little hole and just push it down.
Oh, okay. And I like that. That makes it easier.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've just started growing with a premium landscape fabric on my beds, and I have notches, like X's, where all my 10-inch spacing is now.
Oh, that must have been fun to do, Brian.
Yeah, this year I just went and I just went to every spot and I just created a little hole there with my hand. And I add amendments. You know, you're always adding bone meal when you're planting garlic, just like when you're doing your tulips or just like when you're doing any of your fall bulbs. We're adding bone meal, because bone meal helps with root production, which is what we're looking for for these next 6 to 8 weeks. So I put some bone meal there, and then I put my clove in, and then I just cover over dirt, and that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, and so then in July, or in April, what starts to happen?
Okay, so yeah, so that's the easy part now. We don't do any watering as well, by the
way. Oh, we don't water?
We don't have to water at all. There's enough rain coming in the next month that we don't have to worry about any water.
Excellent.
So no watering, just put them in there. People ask if we can mulch them, and by all means, you can mulch them. I try and stay away from leaves. Leaves can carry diseases, like Typhium.
Yep.
So we want to stay away from leaves, but certainly some mulches you can use. If you have any, if you're cutting your grass and you have grass clippings, they're always great for mulching, but it's not necessary.
Okay.
But what is necessary is in the springtime when the plants come up to be cultivating your soil and to be keeping the weeds away.
All right.
Garlic does not compete well with weeds at all.
Okay.
And so this is a big problem that growers have. The first one is the spacing. A lot of growers just put them 4 to 5 inches apart, and it's just not enough space for garlic.
Right.
So 8 to 10 inches is what we're looking for, and then keeping the weeds out of your garden. And these are two big things that we're doing.
Okay.
Watering in the springtime is, again, dependent on what's happening in your growing conditions. If we're getting a wet spring, then obviously we're not watering. But if we're getting a dry spring and you're noticing that the ground's starting to dry up, then it is advisable to be watering your garlic. And we kind of generally rule of thumb look for about an inch of water per week.
Okay. So we're not, you know, that's not a lot really.
No. No, it's not a lot. They don't require a lot of water.
Okay.
The roots are heading down. The root structures are huge on garlic plants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're hanging out. And this is also the time that I'll do some fertilizing as well, too.
Okay, and what would you fertilize with?
I'm fertilizing with, I was using a product called Wegner's out of Lee Valley. It's from New Zealand. It's an organic sheep manure liquid that you mix with water.
Okay.
It's a higher end nitrogen, so I think it was an 866. Now, somebody's told me that Wegner's has been discontinued this year, which I've yet to find out.
Okay, so, but you like the liquid versus like a granular...
Well, yeah, I use the liquid because I do it when I do my watering is I'll mix it up. And the other thing that I use is I use a liquid fish and liquid seaweed.
Okay,
well.
Yep.
Seaweed is something that is beneficial to plants all the time.
Yes, I've used that in my tomatoes.
Exactly.
I'm equally as bad at growing my tomatoes in containers. So, so I'm fairly consistent with my whole attempt at vegetables, I have to say. Or I don't know if does garlic count as a vegetable or I don't know what it is, but...
That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, it's a spice almost, right? It's
for sure. It's not like we can, well, I guess it's more of a vegetable than a fruit.
You can eat roasted garlic, which is awesome.
Yes, and absolutely.
Roasted garlic fresh from your garden is just incredible.
Oh, so. I can't imagine. Wow.
Yeah. So in April through May and into June, we're doing our watering and our fertilizing, keeping the weeds away. These are the main things that you're doing. And then in June... You're going to notice on hardneck varieties of garlic, and there's two main hardneck varieties. There's porcelain varieties, and there's rocambole varieties.
Okay.
Now, the porcelain varieties are the ones you're going to find that's got 4 to 6 great big cloves in the bulb. whereas most rocamboles will sometimes, they generally have anywhere from 8 to 12 cloves in the bulb. And those are the ones that you see that are sort of packed inside, closer to the core.
Oh, okay, yep.
Right? And those are rocambole varieties. Now, the reproductive tracts on them are different. The porcelain varieties produce a bulbule head that usually has, I would say anywhere from 60 up to 100 little seeds in it. Whereas rocamboles are a lot smaller. You're only going to get usually around maybe 6 to 12, 14 bigger seeds in there.
Okay, and that's the flower. Are we talking about when you say seeds, we're talking about the flower.
That's the little reproductive tract on the top of the plant when you let the scapes go.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one way to tell the difference between rocamboles and porcelains is when you let your plants go to scape and you look at the top of the plant and you say, oh, okay, those are great big ones. That's got to be a rocambole plant, whereas the porcelains are really tall, tiny, small little bulbules.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I was trying to everyone visualize it on the radio versus,
what we're doing is for the primarily for the majority of my crop, is I'm taking the scapes off.
Okay.
And what you'll see in June is you'll see at the center, you'll see it's not a leaf anymore. It's actually a round reproductive tract with a small umbel at the top. And it actually comes up and it curls and creates an actual circle.
Yes. It's
and
very
then
cool.
It will
yeah.
uncurl and stand up if you leave it.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're letting the plant come up and do that full circle. And that's when we're popping the tops is what we call it.
Okay. Now, are we cutting it at the ground level? We're cutting that stem?
No, this is right at the top leaf.
Okay, top leaf.
This is right at the top leaf. And we don't cut them. They literally just, you just grab them and you snap them and they just pop off.
Oh, okay.
And this is our first taste of garlic.
Wow.
Because we cook with these.
Great.
So scapes are now being used widely in a lot of cooking. They can be used in salads, they can be used in omelets and stir fries, garlic scape pesto, on and on. There's many things you can do with scapes now.
Excellent.
Pickling scapes. I mean, right now you just like, again, looking on the internet, you'll just find all kinds of scape recipes right now for garlic scapes.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, I've got a few more questions, but I've learned so much just in that short little chat there, Brian. But we're going to pause right now for a commercial break, and we will continue chatting more about garlic in just a few minutes. So,
thanks, Joanne.
You're welcome. So thank you. We're going to pause here for a commercial break here on Reality Radio 101.
The blackest tears tonight. This is the moment that I live for. I can smell the ocean air. Here I am.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Chris Lee West Indian Market has been serving the West Indian community for over 15 years. Visit their new location at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood and Kingston Road in Ajax. They have a wide variety of Oriental, East and West Indian groceries, fresh fish, meat and vegetables, Load up your cart with goodies from the island at very reasonable prices. They have weekly specials such as non-alcoholic wine at 2 bottles for $5. Visit Chris Lee West Indian Groceries at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood Avenue and Kingston Road in Ajax, or call them right now, 905-426-2111. That's 905-426-2111. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, email her, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you. We are back on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening. We are talking all about garlic tonight with my guest, Brian Maley, from Eudora, Ontario. Thank you. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, Joanne.
So I think I figured out the garlic scapes, and I know I've actually cut them off and brought them in the house. My husband's quite the chef in our house, and handed it to him, and he's like, well, now what do I do with these? But yeah, we have put them in salads and stuff. But now you're saying that the little bulbules at the top,
yeah,
we could plant.
Yeah, what you do is when you're growing several plants or you're growing hundreds of plants, then you're going to take a select few and you're going to let them do their thing for the year. Now, okay. when we cut the scapes off, we tend to send the energy now down into the bulb,
right,
which is the next reproductive section of the garlic, because that's what we primarily been growing with is from the cloves on the bulbs out of the ground.
Right.
So if the plant is now no longer spending energy growing the reproductive tract and standing up, then the energy of the plant is now going down to the bulb to grow big bulbs.
Okay.
But so what I do is I'll take a select few in my garden, and I usually take generally really good plants, nice big thick stems, and because I want to reproduce good plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave some of my better plants go. Now, you are still going to produce a bulb of garlic in the ground.
Right.
So it's kind of a win-win. You're
yes.
getting the bulbules at the top, and you're still getting garlic in the ground.
Okay.
So I just encourage people to do this.
Okay.
And to start growing their basically garlic from their own bulbules in their own growing conditions and their own soil conditions.
Which is great, because then you don't have to go buy it every year, right?
Exactly. So it is a 4 to 5 year commitment, but if you do every step every year, then in 4 years you paid your dues.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at now. I'm at the stage that I just basically grow my own garlic from my own seeds. My whole seed line, I never have to buy any garlic ever again to plant because everything is coming from my production.
From your production. Okay. Now, for our listeners who, let's say, don't, you know, certainly not everybody can grow 1,000, you know, plants, you said. So, and I've tried to, my little attempt at doing it was in my flower garden, like in my front garden, which is where I get the most sun.
Okay. Yeah.
And planting it, you know, in between my little yew hedge and my perennials, which is where I tried to do it.
Yep.
Is that a good idea? I could see, you know, I really try to encourage my customers, and I mention that a lot, and we often have that discussion about the Chinese garlic that's in our grocery stores, and that really we can be growing our own. Is that a good idea? Like, I know I've been recommending it to my listeners and my customers, but is it a good idea to be able to plant it in that type of area in our yards?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for saying that. great. Because, if you're just trying to do one bulb, right? It's one bulb, which you'd break into cloves. You know, you should be able to fit that around your other plants. Oh. We lost him. Oh, we were doing so well there, Gary. So we'll pause right there. I really hope, you know, if you have any questions for Brian on this topic of garlic, then please, you can tweet me. I'm following Twitter as best I can while I'm chatting. But, of course, you can email us at realityradio101@yahoo.com, and Gary's monitoring that. And I'm sure Brian would be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And I know our listeners in the U.S. and Canada and around the world, I know everybody's growing season's a little bit different, but it's nice to know that the window is a pretty good window. And it looks like we have Brian back. Hi there.
Hi there.
Welcome back again.
Okay.
So we were talking about the ability to grow or just... you know, whether you thought it was a good idea to grow garlic in amongst your other plants.
Yes, and I was saying that I think it's a good idea because garlic does tend to repel some insects.
Okay, yes.
So if there's some insects that are bothering your perennials and your flowers, then you actually, you know, you can get some beneficial insect repellent from the garlic.
Yeah,
plants.
For sure. For sure.
So I guess the important thing to do is just to make sure that the soil is loose.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's well drained, like you're not in a wet spot.
Right. Okay. And full sun.
Give it some space and throw your bulbs, your cloves in there right now with the other plants, and you'll get a plant up there, and you'll get to harvest it next July.
Excellent. Now, what we harvest next July, can we eat, or should we?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So this is what we're doing. We're planting in October, and we're harvesting in July for eating.
Okay. All right.
And so what happens is when you take the reproductive track off the garlic plant and the energy starts to go down to the bulb, then this is when the bulb actually starts to grow.
Okay.
And if you can imagine that every leaf on your garlic plant, and there can be like say up to 10 of them, every leaf represents a skin on the bulb of garlic.
Oh, very fascinating.
So you know when you buy your garlic from the store or whatever, you take those wrappers off of it.
Yeah.
What we call wrappers. Okay. Well, every one of those wrappers is a leaf on the plant above.
Okay.
So what happens is as the bulb starts to grow in the ground, then the skin furthest on the outside of the plant will basically die because it's being forced to the bulb is growing. So it's going to kill that leaf, which is the closest to the ground.
Okay.
And then what happens is your plants start to brown from the bottom up.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're watching your plants, and you'll start to see your plants start to brown from the bottom up. And when we have about 5 to 6 green leaves counting from the top down, that's when we dig our garlic up.
Okay. So we're never cutting those leaves off.
You never cut these leaves off.
Okay.
The only time we're going to take the leaves off is once we've harvested the garlic.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're digging the garlic up, and this usually happens around mid to the third week of July.
Okay.
And a lot of it, again, dependent on our weather.
Yes.
If we get a really hot spell of weather, the garlic will mature faster.
Okay.
So you keep an eye on it. I start to go out and look there around, you know, second week of July.
Okay.
You know, because I have a lot of plants, mm-hmm. I can pull some plants up.
Right.
And I can see where I am. And what I'll do is I'll pull down the leaves, and as you pull that leaf down the plant, it will go down to the bulb and take all the dirt off the bulb of garlic.
Really?
Yeah, really. Hmm. So this is how I clean my garlic. I go out and I pull out 40 to 50 plants, and I sit down and I peel down the leaves.
Okay.
And what I'm looking for, ideally, is to have 4 to 5 green leaves still left on the plant.
Okay, 4 to 5 green leaves.
When I harvest it.
Okay. Now, okay, so now you've pulled them out, and you need, I think, you, well, you tell me, do we need to let them sit or dry out, or is there step after you've taken them out of the ground?
I certainly let them dry out. I put them on dryer racks, foldable dryer racks that you get.
Oh, yeah, look for clothing,
you know,
kind of thing.
Because they have the racks,
yeah.
And so you can just lay them on there, and I leave them outside for... anywhere from 3 to 4 days in a shady location. So the wind is blowing over them. So you got air movement, and I'm in the shade, so they're not baking in the sun.
Okay.
And then for me, which is kind of odd, but I bring about my 700 to 800 plants in my house.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. My house smells, well, for me, it smells wonderful.
Yeah, so you must have a garlic room. People have, like, the piano room. No. Gary has, you know, music room. We've got you must have a garlic room.
My dining room turns into my garlic room.
I see.
And I live with this garlic. And one of the main reasons I do is because I have to get prepared for braiding garlic.
Oh, right. Okay.
And there's a whole step in getting prepared for braiding hardneck garlic.
Okay.
So that's why I bring it in the house. And then I put fans on it. And I will also run a humidifier in there because I don't want it to dry out too quickly. In the summertime, we can get the humidity just to drop real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it years where the actual garlic dries out way too fast for me. So I actually run a humidifier at 55% in my house.
Oh, my goodness.
When my garlic's in the house.
Okay.
With fans on it. Now, this is not something that, you know, everybody has to do.
That's right.
It's something that I do for my next step, which is getting ready for braiding.
Okay. So for our listeners who are just, you know, growing a little bit of it,
yeah.
Once they dig it up in or pull it up, really, you're not really digging it.
Well, I don't encourage pulling it up because,
you
can actually leave that bulb of garlic in the ground and just pull the stem of green leaves up.
Oh, okay.
So what I do is I take my pitchfork and I loosen up the soil away from my bulbs and I loosen it up and then I shake the dirt off and then I peel down my leaves. And then I let them dry. And then for most people, you can hang them in a cool spot.
Okay. So not really in the garage, like you can take them in the basement kind of thing or something?
No, in the basement or in the garage. And
okay.
Depends how wet it is.
Right.
It depends on you don't want it too wet. You don't want them to mold out. And that's why I encourage to put a fan on them and continue the air movement over them while
okay.
they dry out.
Okay.
Now, after 3 or 4 days, you could certainly just cut the bulbs off and get rid of the rest of the plant.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But for me, I let the plants completely dry out with their leaves and their stems. And again, it comes down to braiding it because I want to braid the garlic.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And that's what we do, the braiding. We put the bulbs together and we use the stems and the leaves to carry up and create those beautiful braids that you see on the walls.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for some reason, some scientific reason in the garlic, and somebody explained it to me that I didn't quite grasp the concept, but I found that braided garlic stores the longest.
Really?
So the last things I'm eating are my braids that I create.
Wow. So, and your garlic lasts, you know, it must with all those plants, right? You definitely must.
It is surprising that it's really hard to get your garlic from July to July.
Really?
Your garlic, yes.
Even
garlic,
you? Even with all those plants?
It's not so much that I have this many plants, it's that they'll dry out.
Oh, I see.
And you know how you get that green sprout coming out
yes,
of your garlic?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's what's happening. Now the meat of the garlic is actually starting to deteriorate and to dry out.
Okay.
So one trick that the people that I have contact with taught me is I blend up a whole bunch of cloves with a little bit of olive oil, and I freeze them in ice cube trays.
Okay.
And then I vacuum seal a bunch of them.
All right.
So now I'm getting fresh garlic. It's certainly not the best as it is right now.
Right.
But it certainly is better than anything I get from Zehrs or from the grocer from China. Or
yeah, for sure. Okay.
And I've also been told that you can get those little Tupperware containers, just the little small guys, and you can fill those up and freeze them.
And freeze them. Kind of like freezer jam, but it's like kind of garlic jam. No sugar, but,
And then you take that and put it in your fridge, and now you've got minced garlic to use in any of your cooking.
Excellent.
So in that way, I do eat my garlic from July to July.
Okay. Yeah, just a little bit. But, yeah, that makes sense. That's great.
Yeah. So that's a little trick that you can do with your garlic now is to get it ready for that.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got your mention of raised planters has given me hope. So I really want to talk to you about when we get back from commercial break. I really want to talk to you about the option or ability to grow garlic in containers,
yay or nay.
So let's talk about that in just a moment. We will pause now. Thank you for joining us and listening to us on Down the Garden Path. We will be right back.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Do you have an electrical problem or an electrical service that needs attention, but you just do not know who to call? Relax, we have the answer just for you. Fusion Electrical Services is a professional, licensed, and accredited electrical company that provides excellent sales, service, and advice to you, their cherished customer. At Fusion Electrical Services, we provide all electrical services that deal with residential, industrial, and commercial concerns, from a simple home outlet to hot tubs and pools, ceiling fans, control systems, panel changes, bathroom and kitchen wiring services, and a whole lot more. If you do not know who to call for your electrical concern, please call Dave Wilson at 905-999-5471. That's 905-999-5471. Call Dave today and have your electrical concerns be gone tomorrow. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw. And now, right back to Joanne.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path, our garlic episode, let's call it that, with my guest, Brian Maley. Welcome back, Brian. So, when we finished off there, I did, I you don't know this about me, but I have a pool in my backyard. The house came with a pool, and I don't have any grass or garden space, really. But I do, in certain pockets, have quite a bit of sun. So my challenge and my learning about growing vegetables and growing things to eat, I've really been attacking the whole growing in containers theme with somewhat success. You know, the weather hasn't been that great. I never thought that I could do that with garlic. So that's my question for you: is it possible to grow garlic in containers?
Well, I'm going to say yes. Now, I'll be honest; I haven't tried it myself because I have a half an acre and I don't have to grow in containers. But I have heard people who have done it successfully. And so, what I would do is I would take your containers, make sure they're nice and deep. And use the same principles that you're going to plant your garlic, you know, maybe in the containers, maybe 6 to 8 inches apart.
Okay.
2 to 3 inches deep. And then what I would recommend is that they grow unfrozen for, like I say, about 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. And then I would put them outside and let the whole freezing process happen to your planters.
So start them inside?
Well, you could, yeah. I mean, when I say that, like, you know, I mean, for our ground to freeze here, it's going to take a bit. But a container, because it's a small container, is going to freeze faster, right?
Right, right.
So I would just, you know, don't have to do it right away. I would just keep an eye on the weather. And if it's not freezing or if it's in a location where you can protect it, then basically what we're looking for, again, is the same idea. Is we want the garlic to set down roots for 6 to 8 weeks, and then we want to freeze over.
Okay.
So you could effectively, like if you could start them now outside and keep them outside, but if all of a sudden we're getting some colder weather and you think that your planters are going to freeze up, then by all means bring them in or protect them in some way so that they don't freeze up.
Okay.
And then I would just, like I say, then I would keep them outside for the winter.
Excellent. Well, that is certainly worth a try.
And then in the springtime, the same thing should happen. You're going to get your plants coming up in your containers, and everything will be the same. You're going to just keep an eye on your watering and your fertilizing, and the plants should go through their same cycle of growing, reproducing.
Because like you said earlier, when I asked about the impact on the freeze and thaw, you said that wouldn't be an issue for them in the garden, but in the container, you know, maybe not. It's hard to know because sometimes our freeze and thaw, our thaws really aren't that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it might melt a bit of snow, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? It melts a little. If we've got snow, we'll get a thaw where it melts the snow, but it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, and then the ground is back, it's not solid yet, right?
Right.
But a container could probably freeze up solid.
Yeah.
A small container. So I would just keep an eye on it and give it a try. Like, I think if you do it right now, we're going to be safe. I mean,
yeah.
I certainly hope we're going to be safe
for
the next 4 weeks, but you never know in our country here what happens when winter starts to rear its ugly head.
Well, we don't have time for winter. We have too much baseball still to play, right?
Exactly.
We don't need to worry about that. So, wow. Well, that is great. I mean, I've learned a ton. Is there anything else you think we need to know that, you know, just thinking again about the your typical homeowner who wants to try it in their garden and even in their flower beds or in their front yard, you know, any other tips or tricks?
No, I mean, like I said, I think the most important thing is just to emphasize is to not go to Zehrs and get to your grocer, get Chinese or Mexican garlic, but to rather to go to either a specialty grower or to a farmer's market or look on the internet and try Richter's. I think they still have garlic. Mm-hmm. And source out something that's grown here in our country is the big thing. And then they should be fine. Like, they should be able to plant any time in the next several weeks.
Excellent.
We still have lots of time to get garlic in the ground.
Okay.
And like we started off talking about, there is no, it has to be in by this date.
Right.
It is so dependent on your climate and where you are and when you get your freeze up.
And that's much like the flower bulbs too, right? You know?
Yeah.
There is some flexibility there.
Now, squirrels will go out and dig them up to see what you planted.
Okay.
But they don't want them.
Right.
So, I mean, I've watched squirrels go in my garlic patch and dig up, I don't know, 8, 10, and then finally realize, okay, this is all garlic. I'm out of here.
Yes, for that very reason, I usually recommend most of my clients, if they're planting bulbs, to plant either daffodils or alliums because the squirrels don't like either of them. So
exactly. Same thing. Well, it's an allium plant, so there you go.
Yeah, for sure. So what's, because all the extra work to plant tulips and to put mesh down and put all those other things to kind of prevent them and discourage them, you know, it's too much work. It's just alliums put on a quite a nice show anyway. So
if you mix a few garlic alliums in there with your
Absolutely. So that's what I'm thinking of. So I really do hope you and I can connect this week because I've got some great ideas for incorporating. And there's always chances for me to make, because I have no backyard. I have, for a suburban neighborhood, I have a corner lot. So I have a large front corner. So the beds just keep getting bigger and bigger. So,
Well, I'm through Pickering all the time because I'm, I work in Scarborough and I'm here in Eudora. So, by all means, get in touch with me this week, and I have lots of garlic here that I can bring down you and get going for you. Because, like I say, I am now done my planting, so now I get to clean up my house.
Yes.
get my living room back, or my dining room.
And your dining room.
Now all my garlic is in. I've spread the love of to my brother and to my family and to the people who all want to plant garlic. And this is what I do. I'm not a commercial grower. I don't make money off of growing garlic. I just love talking about it and spreading the love of garlic.
Oh, that's great. So there is no Eudora Man, Garlic Man website or anything like that?
There's no Eudora Garlic Man website or any sales of it. I go and do presentations at horticultural societies and to garlic festivals and now on the radio, and I'll just continue spreading the love of garlic, just like the Fish Lake Garlic Man, Ted Mazig, who passed away recently.
Oh, okay.
There's lots of competitions with garlic, braiding garlic competition at the Royal, which I've won a few years.
Now, will you be at the Royal, or will you be at any upcoming fairs?
I won't be at the Royal this year. I was traveling to Ireland this year, so
okay.
I didn't do the normal braiding or getting the garlic prepared for the Royal this year. But next year, I may go back and enter the competition, the braiding competition, and the 12 garlic on a plate competition, and... And a lot of it is not so much taste. It's more about the aesthetics of it. It's more about the same size bulbs and how you present them and that sort of stuff. So that's another fun aspect of it. Like you said in my bio, this is kind of how it started at the Uxbridge Fall Fair and competing with our friends and who's got the best plate. And then I started doing talks in Uxbridge and at the Fall Fair, and then people who were listening to my talks were then competing against me. And even my daughter competed against me one year with my dad, unbeknownst to me.
Oh, goodness.
And they beat me one year.
So
it was a proud moment for them. Because you never know until you go to the fair. He's like, hey, who won?
So it's just been a
wonderful plant and a great way to meet people and talk to people, and something I just really enjoyed in my life.
And
enjoy great cooking with it. Like any gardening with your gardening people, there's nothing like harvesting from your own soil.
For sure.
And putting it on your plate.
Yeah, whether it's food, whether it's your own flowers, making your own bouquets, there's just a wonderful, it's just wonderful to do. So
no difference with garlic.
And
so many people that have gotten started in growing garlic, every year they grow more and more, and they teach friends, and so it's just you keep spreading the love of garlic.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I learned so much today, and I really hope our listeners did as well. So I wanted to say, so we'll say go Jays go, and let you put your feet up now, and thank you once again, and I will email you as well later this week and see if we can connect. But I did want to thank you very much for being on our show tonight.
Thank you. It's been wonderful talking to you, and hopefully we'll hook up with you later this week.
Excellent.
Early next week, and we'll get you some garlic.
Good garlic to start. So that's great. All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. Good night.
Okay. Good night, Joanne.
Well, there you have it.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I think I was enthralled. I was.
You were speechless in there.
I was,
like,
because
you were really...
I was reading your notes about Brian. And then listening, it's not that hard to grow.
No, it really isn't.
I thought it would be a lot more complicated. It's pretty much get it in the ground and forget about it.
Yes, it really is. And if I try to spread the word, but many people don't realize that the garlic you're buying in our grocery stores is grown in China or Mexico.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Because
I know what you talked about that.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't we have more domestic garlic here?
Well, it's cost prohibitive, right? Because it's more expensive to grow. He did touch on a little bit about some of the insect problems and some of the challenges it is to grow. So it is a little bit more challenging for Ontario growers to grow it. And so it's more expensive. Like anything, when you go directly to the farmer, it can be a little bit pricier. To like the whole organic, organic food is more expensive than. But we know what went into it, right? And I've spoken to my grocery manager and I've said I want that, and he says it's not even on his list. Like he can't even order it.
Let me ask you this, okay? Because we use a lot of garlic here, but of course Elaine buys it. I don't know how much it costs. Normally, what does garlic cost? Normally, when you...
I think a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking
at $6 instead of a couple of bucks.
Yeah. You know, if I had the means, I don't mean financially, if I had the land...
Yeah.
And because I worked on a farm when I went to college. It was the best job I've ever had. Mm-hmm. I would highly turn somebody on their ear and consider being a garlic farmer in Ontario.
Yeah.
Even if the profits were not high, just doing it out of the love, making a little bit to pay the expenses, and have it organically grown here, right, homegrown.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how wonderful that would be instead of worrying about imports?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. Well, and then I think there's lots of crops that's the issue, right?
Yeah,
We're so quick to buy it. The Ontario, the local growers can't compete. Strawberries,
yeah.
Think of that. It's a challenging time. So we can get, year round, we can get strawberries from California and Mexico.
Right, of course.
And we've got a short window here in Ontario. And we all know the Ontario ones aren't as big and as fat and whatever, but they taste so much better than the ones
that are picked
slightly green or slightly pink and shipped here. So
always prefer local produce. Always.
Definitely.
The best.
So I'm very excited to learn that we can plant them amongst our other plants in our gardens, as long as the soil is amended properly. And I'm really looking forward to trying, since I had like a brutal crop of tomatoes this year, I did have a pretty good jalapeno pepper plant.
Yep.
Crop for my little pots, but I'm looking forward to that. I think it'd be fun, be a nice attempt to try garlic. And
the good news is he never actually did it in pots, but he doesn't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
You could do that, and I love the fact that, again, it's not something you have to worry about frost and cold to kill a plant. You put it in, you throw it, like he said, in the winter, put it outside the whole winter.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. That's amazing.
Yeah. So right? I wasn't, and when I met him at the Horticultural Society, I did get to see some of the slides, and I saw his raised beds in photos. So that's what made me think, you know, since they are raised above the ground, you know, wonder if that would work with my pots
as well.
And I've got some good-sized pots, too. Mm-hmm. So I think once they freeze, they are going to stay frozen. So,
well, just a little side note, if the Liberal government becomes elected here in Toronto or Canada.
Yep.
We'll be smoking pot.
Yeah. Well, we're going to end on that note, Gary. Yeah. Are we going to?
So I know you have beautiful big pots to grow.
Yes.
But there you go.
Yes.
I just want to let the world know that because it's an inside joke.
Okay.
Nothing bad, but one of our parties wants to make marijuana legal. That's all.
Yes.
So
we'll see if that happens. But anyway, so I just thank you for listening today, and I'm so excited about the show. I will have it up on my website at downtoearth.ca, number 2. Like I have all my past shows. Please log on and check out my blog section there, and you can see all the past shows, and we've covered some really great topics. And I'm really looking forward to bringing you some more great topics coming up in October, the rest of October and November. Jane from we're going to talk about birds and bird feeding.
Oh, beautiful.
Again in a couple weeks. And yeah, so if there's questions, what was that?
That was supposed to be my imitation of a bird.
If there's anyone out there who'd love to be on the show, then please contact me at joanne@downtoearth.ca. Or topics you're interested in. I know what I'm interested in and what my customers' questions they ask me. And my friends ask me, so I'm happy to, you know, bring anybody on the show to talk about it. So even though our gardening season outside is winding down, we still have lots to talk about in here. So thank you for joining me once again down the garden path, and we'll see you next week here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw. Right here on Reality Radio 101.